Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm thrilled today to introduce you to our guest, Julian Lennon, a visual artist, a musician, a poet, a filmmaker, a documentarian, and a humanitarian. And maybe that's just a few of the great things that Julian has to talk to us about today. Julian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you.
Too kind. I meant every word of this.
I really did. This is so exciting for us. And we're so looking forward to featuring your article in the printed pages of our magazine as well, that's celebrating 14 years in January. So we've got a feat of our own that we've climbed.
Congratulations. Sorry about that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You have such a prolific background in so many different mediums and just the life that you've led so far. How about giving our listeners just a recap about your journey creatively?
Well, I guess, you know, from the get-go, there was always, you know, an interest in music one way or the other. So I picked that up kind of naturally, really. It's just something I wanted to do. And it, in fact, came about more so because of my dearest and oldest friend, Justin Clayton, who was actually taking guitar lessons. And then I decided to join him because it just seemed far more exciting and interesting than anything else going on at school at that time. One thing led to another. You know, released a few albums.
Yes, you did.
Did a few world tours. Still am.
I know that's exciting.
I've never stopped that. You know, I tend to do most creative things at my own pace, if possible. That was a little difficult in the early years with the first and second album. You know, labels tend to push you out the door a little bit, whether you like it or not, whether you're prepared or not. So that can be, you know, a little difficult sometimes. Anyway, you know, to carry on, I was doing a charity campaign, and one of my dear friends, who's an incredible photographer, Timothy White, he was shooting the campaign for the charity campaign. And he allowed me to, he didn't allow me, I actually edited them without his knowledge.
Oh.
And he said, how do you know how to do that? I said, I don't really, I'm just playing around. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what other, you know, pictures have you got or work do you have? I said, well, I don't really have anything, you know, just stuff over the years that I take. He looked at the work and said, Jules, you should do an exhibition, really. I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no. He said, listen, you know, you've got some work here that's very credible. And I said, listen, there's no way I'm going to do this without your guidance and support. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I really wouldn't know where to start, or, you know, how the process, how you maneuver through the process of putting the show together. I mean, there are similarities to music, but also there's many differences too. One thing led to another. I had my first show in New York. I can't remember.
2010.
2010, yeah, thank you. Way back when. I've got to say that was probably, I mean, 3 days before that. I'm sure everybody listening, including yourself, when you have that absolute anxiety where you just don't know how things are going to turn out, you know, and it was a build up to this exhibition, and 3 days before I couldn't eat, I was throwing up. I was the anxiety: what if no one comes? Blah 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 blah. Yeah, you know, what are the critics? You know, if they had a go at me on the music front, what the hell are they going to do with me on the photography front? You know, right. Thinking, what's this guy thinking? He's doing. To my absolute wonder and surprise, I you know, the response was magnificent. I can't even describe.
Well, your work is so magnificent.
Too kind, but I was just from the get-go, it was a real shock. And in fact, it was very, very, very overwhelming. I mean, the initial show was packed out. There was lines around the block, and I'm going, lines around the block for a photography show?
Oh, that's fantastic.
But, you know, and I was shaking. I was in bits, but it was a great start. What can I say?
And office.
You know, since then, you know, I do pretty much a lot of sort of street or guerrilla photography. That's how many describe it. But most of the earlier stuff, at least the collections, come out of, you know, my involvement with my foundation, the White Feather Foundation, and my travels with the foundation to the far reaches of the planet, whether that's South America or Ethiopia or Kenya, you know, working on charity projects with partners around the world. But, you know, taking my camera along and realizing that, you know, it really was a great way, as music is, but this even more directly so, of showing people that didn't have a chance to either travel through, you know, financial reasons, or they were physically not able to. It was like going through the looking glass, being able to see other people's lives, at least from my perspective, and you know, showing people on the other side of the world what other people's lives are like, and really sort of allowing people to empathize seriously with the state of the world and what people mm-hmm. are dealing with, good and bad, you know.
Right. It was like your camera was like a key to enable you to storytell.
Very, very, very much so. I mean, I'd always been involved in the medium of, you know, documentaries as well. I've been avid fan of documentaries for years, and done a few myself. And so that idea of being a storyteller, a messenger of sorts, I felt very important. It's to send the message across to a lot of people that don't get the chances to travel the way I've been able to, into seeing, you know, the landscape and the lives of people that I come across. And it's a very personal journey in many respects, but also it's a joy to be able to share those experiences. And I think it allows people to understand why we need to support and, you know, do better in this world.
Right.
You know, short, you know.
Right. During your exhibition in 2010, was your work for sale that evening when the line was around the building?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
And you sold a lot then, right?
I couldn't actually tell you. Okay. For me, that's another, you know, weird thing. It's almost like, you know, I'd rather, for me, it's very much about doing the work and just moving on to the next project. I mean, it can be exciting sometimes when you hear, well, you sold this many or that many, but that's not really the interest behind what I do on any front, whether that's music or photography or film production, independent documentaries, etc., children's books, etc.
Yes.
It's about trying to be a better person and trying to make
right. But to be a better person, your foundation has to be funded, and so that's sort of what I was getting at. You know.
Oh right. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, whether that's music or photography, you know, there's definitely a portion of the proceeds that go directly back into the White Feather Foundation so that we can, you know, continue to do the work that we
yes.
do. But I mean, the White Feather Foundation is solely supported by either the projects that I do and or the public who donate kindly from the bottom of my heart. And I think, again, due to, you know, the work that I do and getting out there, they get a chance to understand what that's all about and to support. And that enables us to try and do better things and, you know, keep cultures alive and, you know, and provide, you know, health and education and clean water. It's all those essential things in life that,
yeah, I agree.
A lot of people still do not have, which is insane.
I know.
It just drives me a little nuts.
I know. We're sending people to the, you know, Mars and out of space right now. We just did a big article about that. And so if we can do that, we should be able to figure this out, you know, like.
Absolutely. Because I mean, it's pure insanity. You know, I'm all for exploration and discovering other worlds. But, you know, again, let's fix this one first. Excuse my French.
Well, you have so many things we can talk about, but I know one of the key things that we want to talk about today with you is your collaboration with Portia De Rossi and Restoration Hardware with your photography exhibit and curation there, which your work, I looked it up, is absolutely beautiful. And I love Rico Suave.
He was a character. He was certainly a character.
I want that so bad.
But you know what? Believe it or not, that is one of my favorite pictures that
I love it.
I said to Portia, I said when we were FaceTiming or Zooming, that you know. That is the one that I want straight off the printers and sent to me over here. That's the picture that I want on my wall in the size and frame that they've set it up as. And it's due to arrive shortly. So I'm looking forward to that very, very much. But yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's beautiful. So was that a candid or were you posing him?
No, that was candid.
Why it's so much better.
The guy, Rico, although that's not his name, he was driving us around. My friend and I, who works down there as a production coordinator for film and TV, and she was she had hired him for the week that I was there. And but that was just one of the locations out of Havana that, you know, he wanted to show us that it was a little off and out of the way from the normal tourist traps, because I was far more interested in that. There was a beach in front that was all covered in glass, which was very, very sad. People were just kind of partying and then just leaving stuff, and it was sad. And I just looked back and he was lounging on the front of his car, and I just made a quick turnaround and snapped it, and that was it. So,
well, it was magic.
It was magic.
So how did you meet Portia? How did that happen?
No, I mean, we haven't yet. Okay. Only virtually.
Well, virtually.
Same thing. In the new world.
Listen, it's a long line of things that have happened positively over the past few years. I mean, for 20 years, I've worked as an independent artist on every level, micromanaging myself into the ground, basically. It almost killed me. And then I had an introduction by a dear friend to my now manager partner, Rebecca Warfield, who we clicked instantaneously, and she got me and wanted to support me in the best way possible, and felt that I'd been pretty hard done by, not only with management in the past, but the industry and labels. And I've been royally screwed, if I may say so. She introduced me to Wendy of Posner Arts. And again, another kind and creative soul that just we clicked. And I'd never had a photography agent before. So this was, you know, it's to finally have a team supporting you, who you love and respect, and it's it becomes an absolute joy to work again, you know, instead of the struggles that can happen. And Wendy came up to me with this idea, saying, "Listen, Portia loves your work, and she's got this company." And I was checking it all out, and I'd always liked Portia and what she'd done in the past and what the company had been doing and represented. And so I thought, you know what, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. It was just mutual respect all the way down the line from the get-go. And I've got to say, it's been one of the best working relationships I've ever had. And, you know, long may it continue. That's all I can say.
Yes, well, it's quite an interesting collaboration. I think the way it's presented and the curation that I guess Portia curated, or did you send work that you wanted
to? Well, I mean, initially, we talked. I was saying, well, what are we looking for here? You know, because we were dealing with kind of interiors and home decor to a certain degree, as well as other things, And I said, well, you know, I've got a whole bunch of things that could work for that are not necessarily, you know, part of the kind of collections that I have or the exhibited work that I just haven't, in all honesty, haven't catalogued yet. I'm still cataloguing my work in between the music and the film stuff. When I get a chance, I'm about 50,000 pictures in now, and about another 50 to go. So, there are certain images that do come to mind that, you know, when Bush said, well, I'm kind of looking for this or perhaps this, I just said, listen, the best thing I can do is put a collection together for you. Of not, kind of miscellaneous, but with certain ideas in mind, and then you tell me what you like, and we go from there. and that's how it developed. That's how we moved on, and we came to an agreement upon what made sense for everybody, and that was that. And it was easy, and it was lovely, you know. And it's
and that's good.
It's been a joy.
Well, you know how COVID has had its challenges, one of them being you can't get into our country, which I'm really sorry about. But what has happened is real estate market has, I'll give someone a call when I get off to see if we can get you in.
I've got work to do.
You do. But one byproduct of COVID was people staying at home. They wanted to refurbish their homes and they fell in love with their homes again. So that's partly why you're going to do so well because of the COVID with your work now in the States and all over.
Listen, for me, this is the most lovely opportunity I've had regarding the photography work because, you know, it finally gets a chance to be seen. And again, being in the company that I'm in now, it's a pleasure, and I hope that people who are fans of photography and otherwise and the public like what I do. You know,
it's beautiful.
It's moments for me in life that I'm intrigued to capture. For one reason or another. So, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Okay. Will Restoration Hardware have a big event with you at it when you can come over?
I know that they've got a store opening, I think, or a gallery opening, should I say, in San Fran next month. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Maybe RH can have a word with the government.
Yes.
They'll tell them that they
with
need
the powers that be.
Exactly. But I think by that time, in all honesty, I should be, with a bit of luck, over there by then, because the government did say early November. So
right.
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes, I'm keeping them crossed for you too. Well, congratulations on this new endeavor. It's very, very exciting.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And congratulations on your 2021 World Literacy Award for The Morning Tribe. I mean, that must be very fulfilling.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, it's all come out of the blue, this stuff. You know, I mean, to be honest, just to fill you in very briefly, you know, I was thinking it was about time I might want to write my memoirs. And I have a dear friend who's a great writer, Bart, who I have co-written all the children's books with. You know, he was the one that inspired me in this medium, because we were sitting, he was here, and we were talking over, you know, how to approach writing about my life up until this point. And he said, "Jules, you know, what are you doing with The White Feather for kids?" I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, you know, how are you reaching the kids?" And I'd always wanted to find an avenue to make that work. And he said, "Jules, you know, why don't we, you know, take the ideas and the concepts and the everything that White Feather does, and simplify that and put that in simple stories that kids will understand and will ask questions about, that it'll initiate the conversation, not only with themselves and the world around them, but with their parents too, into, you know, why things are the way they are, and hopefully, you know, promote some change and some, you know, interested young minds and hearts looking for a better future, you know."
Mm-hmm. And that you did with your graphic novel.
Thank you. Yes. So far, so good.
One more thing I want to touch on is your new documentary on Netflix, Kiss the Ground.
Sure.
I saw a little bit of it with Woody Harrelson, and it looks very moving. But what I was able to glean is that you are multi-awarded for that already. I mean, so many critically acclaimed.
It's a fantastic documentary. It's a fantastic film. And a friend of mine who was a producer on it and very incredible editor, Darius Fisher, I asked him what he was up to, and he told me he was starting to work on this film. And I went to meet everybody, and immediately I was intrigued and actually had no idea about the concepts that they were talking about, the Dust Bowl and it went through, I have to say, it went through some struggles and some big changes over a couple of years, to the point where we almost thought it wasn't going to make it out the door. But it turned a corner, and it turned such a corner that the final edit blew me away, absolutely. And even more so than that is the film, and what I like about making executive producing or producing documentaries and being part of them is that, especially with Kiss the Ground, is that there are actionable items, that there are things in there that they're not shoved down your throat, but they're just saying, if we don't do this, this is going to happen. And you know, so this is your
just
decision.
The facts.
This is your decision too.
Right.
And the great thing that's come out of that is that, you know, Kiss the Ground is actually a platform around the world now where people are genuinely, you know, standing up for themselves and making change, regardless of governmental policies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Corporation. It's a good thing. It's a strong thing, and I think that's an important thing. And certainly, we've got I've just started White Feather Films to make more documentaries and documentary features. So we've already got like three films lined up that will have a similar tone, in that you'll be able to, you know, see what's going on, help the situation if you want to, and maybe even turn that into a platform moving forward. Because I think the way things have been, we need every little bit of help that we can right now.
All hands on deck, for sure. And you know what? You are a change maker, and you are very inspiring. And I wish you continued success in all you're doing and changing the world. And you've been a delight to speak with. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Okay. So give me a call when you get to the States, hopefully in November. And I'd love to come out to the exhibit. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Julian, Lennon, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Likewise.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.